Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 15. In verse 15, Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants." He's speaking to his disciples there. By the way, you are his disciple also. If you are somebody who is pursuing the Word of God, who is learning the Word of God, if you are somebody who is getting to know God, then you are a disciple. He says, "No longer do I call you servants." We sometimes think of ourselves as servants of God, and that's fine. Paul even thought of himself in that sense on many occasions. But really, that isn't the way that God thinks of us. God doesn't think of us as servants. We think of ourselves as servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. In our case, we do know what our master is doing. In John 16:13, the Holy Spirit was given to us and he guides us in all truth. So we do know what the master is doing. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit give us an eternal viewpoint so that we could know what he is doing. So we are not servants. We know what the master is doing. We know what the Father is up to. We know what God wants. We know what he thinks. We know what he is doing. And then he says, "But I have called you friends. I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." This is the way that God sees you. This is how he relates to you. He doesn't relate to you as a servant. Yes, he has a perfect will. Yes, there are things that he desires in your life. Yes, he is a mighty king. Yes, he is to be obeyed. But how does he relate to you? How does he see you? And he doesn't see you as a servant. He sees you as a friend. Abraham was one of the greatest men of all times, not because in himself he had a lot of greatness. In himself he had a lot of weaknesses. But he is one of the greatest men of all times because he trusted God. And the Bible says that he was a friend of God because he believed God. Well, if I believe God, then he can tell me what he is doing. If I believe God, then I will be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. If I believe God, then the Word of God will make a difference in my life. It'll profit me, it'll transform me, it'll give me his thoughts if I believe him. Then I have the experience of being his friend, but I'm his friend not because of what I do, but because of what he has done. We are his friends. Sometimes people are very worried about, well, what would Jesus do? You even get that bracelet, "What would Jesus do?" And I understand what they're trying to say, but it's not actually correct. It's not "what would Jesus do?" It's "what has Jesus done?" Well, Jesus gave you his word. He died on the cross. He cleansed you from all sin with his blood. He seated you above in heavenly places at the right hand of God. He made you one new man with him, which is the new creation. He has done all these things. He has loved you. He has put love together with you into one person. There is no "what would he do?" There is "what he has done," and "who are you in him?" And you are his friend. And that is the end of the matter. You are his friend. When God sees you, God sees his friend. You know what it's like when you see your friend? Maybe you haven't seen him for a week. And then you see your friend and you're happy to see your friend. You get a little bit excited. You have some anticipation that there will be something good coming out of the encounter because they are your friend. Well, God is like that too. God loves your company. How do we give God our company? We give God our company with prayer. We give God our company with focusing on Him, with Him being the premier thought in our minds. Even though we may have to focus on details when we're doing something, we still live in the awareness of His presence. It's like somebody is in the room, but I'm doing something. I'm not necessarily even speaking to them at the moment, but I'm aware that they are in the room. And because I'm aware that they are in the room, I'm available to talk to them. I'm available to hear their voice. I'm available for whatever they would have because I'm in the room. And if they are my friend, then my availability is very positive. My availability is very willing because they are my friend. And I might be doing something, but if my friend says something, I won't ignore them. If I hear them, I will speak to them or I will respond because they are my friend. Well, God is like that too. Sometimes God is quiet and sometimes He speaks. Some people become very anxious about it if God is quiet. Never be anxious about God being quiet. Sometimes if you have a friend, you might be driving in the car with them, but nobody has anything particularly unique to say for the moment, or maybe both of you or one of you is in thought, or maybe you're just tired from the day and you're driving in the car with your friend. You're glad to be with your friend, even though you might be quiet. Well, it's like that with God as well. God loves your company. God will always give you His company. People are not able to always give me their attention, but God, being God, can always give me His full attention. God loves your company. God loves talking to you. God loves to hear your voice. Sometimes we get tired of our own voice, but God never gets tired of our voice because we are His friends, and this is the way that He relates to us. This is the way that He sees us, His friends. In Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. You know how you love your friends? You're just excited to be with them. You're glad when they're around. You miss them when they're not. You look forward to when you can visit them. Because you love your friends. Well, God loves you with an everlasting love. And this is how He sees you. His thoughts toward you when He sees you are thoughts of everlasting love. In Jeremiah 29:11, His thoughts toward you are never negative. He'll never criticize you in His thinking. God never thinks that way. God looks at you and says, I love you with an everlasting love and you are my friend. God doesn't criticize the things that we do or the things that we say. People may criticize us because people are weird. God loves you with a love that had no beginning and has no end. That love will always be patient and kind toward you. That love will never think anything evil of you. That love will never envy you, wishing that you didn't have something that they don't have. No, the love that God has for you is always for your benefit, thinking only for your advancement, your prosperity, your benefit, your blessing. How do I help? This is the kind of thought that God has toward you. God will never see you with any form of negativity because He is your friend. People are imperfect friends because people are imperfect. Don't worry about what people are like because God is your friend. Sometimes we want to put people's characteristics to God. Sometimes people will say, well, I don't believe God. And you ask them why. And they say, well, when I was whatever age, this person who was a Christian did this. Or I don't like certain things about certain people who are Christians. So I don't like God. That's kind of stupid thinking, really, if you think about it. But that's the way some people think. But here's the point about that. That person who would do something like that is assigning the characteristics of people to God. Yet God is not a man. God doesn't have the characteristics of men. God has characteristics that are far beyond men. God is not imperfect like people are. God is absolutely perfect. God doesn't have bad days like people do. God controls the days. He made the days. God doesn't have weaknesses like people do. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So never assign human characteristics to God. God is not human. He created humans. If every single person around you turns out to be rotten, God is still amazingly sweet and kind. God is still the one who loves you. God is still the one who's kind to you. If everybody disappoints you, God will still be faithful to you. In 1 John 2, in verse 1, John the Apostle knew Jesus perhaps better than any other person did. He called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. He was one of the guys that Jesus would always take with him when he went somewhere. And he says this, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin." Okay, so he says, don't sin. But then he says this, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." One of the things that happens when people sin is Satan accuses them before God in Zechariah chapter 3. And he will try to bring our sins to God. Now, sin can be outright, where people can see it, or it's an activity, or sometimes sin is just in your mind. Romans 14:23 says, "Whatever is not of faith is sin." We have a sin nature because of the fall of Adam. We got that from Adam, who's our ancestor. But if any man does sin, he is an advocate with God. And this is a picture of a courtroom, where you have a prosecutor and you have a defense attorney and you have a judge and you have a jury. And Satan will go to the Father, who is like the judge, and he'll accuse us, except Jesus comes and he defends us. And the reason why he can defend us is because he has cleansed us from all sin with his blood. So how does God see you? Does he see you according to your sin? No. He does not. He defends you even when you sin. He defends you. Does he want you to sin? Absolutely not. It can be a very devastating thing. But even if you do sin, Jesus will defend you. Why? He is your friend. He loves you with an everlasting love. That does not change. He doesn't love you more when you are good or less when you are bad. He does not love you more if you're doing great and less if you are sinning. No. This is why he is your advocate. This is why he comes to your defense. Because he loves you and he is your friend. We think of things in strange terms sometimes. Sometimes people will incorrectly think to themselves, well, if I'm good, I can go to heaven. No, that's not how it works at all. if I'm bad, I'll go to hell. No, that's not how it works at all. It's like saying, if I'm good, I can go to the movie theater, and if I'm bad, I cannot go to the movie theater. That's silly. You can go to the movie theater if you have a ticket. Well, Jesus gave us what we need to go to heaven, regardless of how we are. But here's the thing about that. Does he want sin? No. It separates us from him. However, he will always go after us. And then in Romans 2:4, his goodness will bring us to repentance. And so when God comes after you, because he defends you, because he loves you, because he is your friend, in Jeremiah 31:3, in the second half of the verse, we read the first half, it says, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn you. And that is saying that when I sin, God's goodness draws me and it brings me to repentance. I get out of sin because God is kind to me. Nobody gets out of sin because they're condemned or somebody yells at them or they're somehow pronounced guilty. Nobody gets out of sin that way. We get out of sin because the goodness of God brings us out of sin. David said that the goodness of God made him great. The goodness in the Old Testament was often called God's gentleness. The gentleness of God makes us great. And so God will always approach you with love and friendship and protection and gentleness and goodness. In Isaiah 43 and verse 4, he says, you're precious in my sight, and I've honored you, and I've loved you. How does God see you? How does God relate to you? As someone who is precious in his sight. Sometimes we say, well, God sees me as precious, and so people should. Well, people aren't God. They're not perfect. They have their own issues. They're not going to treat me always the way God treats me. But you know what? I don't worry about that. Because people aren't God. What I'm concerned about is how God treats me. My wife, when she was a kid, she used to tease her sisters something awful. She has two sisters. And she used to tease them something awful. And she would mess with them and stuff. And they hated her for it. Not all the time, but when she would tease them, they would get all upset and react, and they would just, oh, they hated it. But she didn't care because she knew her mom loved her. And she said to herself, I don't care if my sisters hate me for teasing them. I'm having some fun. And my mom loves me. So as long as my mom loves me, who cares what anybody else thinks about me? Well, it's kind of like that with God. As long as God loves me, as long as God is kind to me, as long as God is my friend and he calls me his friend, as long as God is gentle with me, who cares what anybody else thinks about me? I'm precious in the eyes of God. Who cares what anybody else does? He loves me with an everlasting love. Who cares what people say? He loves me. And really, in the end, that's the only important thing, is that God loves me, and he'll never stop loving me. You know what? He'll never stop loving you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Whatever mistakes I may have made, they're not my mistakes. I'm not the same person. Sometimes people say, well, I'm different now. I'm not the same person. You're not just different. You're new. You're recreated. You're not cleaned up. You're rebuilt. You're remade. You're new. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. When God sees you, he always sees you as a new creature. That new creature is the person that you are combined with the person that Jesus is, and he makes you into one person. That's why we're the body of Christ. When God sees you, he doesn't see a person who's a failure or weak or a mess. He sees his kid, and he loves his kid. And because we're made new, in verse 18 it tells that all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and then he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. Because God loves me, I tell people about the love of God. Because God saved me, I tell people how to get saved. Because I'm going to heaven, I tell people how to get to heaven. Because God is gentle, I reflect his gentleness. Because God is kind, I reflect his kindness. All the things that God is, in 1 John 4:17, we are. We're his body. This is how he sees us. This is how he relates to us. He doesn't see us as servants. He sees us as friends. He doesn't see us as strangers or people from another family or distant from us. No, he sees us as his family. He sees us as precious. He loves us with an everlasting love. And because of that, he will always be kind to us and treat us with goodness and gentleness. It doesn't matter who does or says whatever they do or say. Don't even pay attention to it. If somebody is negative toward you, it's not a sign of what's going on with you. Even if they're saying that it's you that did it, it doesn't matter what they say. God says differently. If somebody is negative toward you, they're reflecting a problem that they have in their own heart rather than a problem that you have. You belong to him. You were saved by him. You were made to be one creature with him. You're seated above in heavenly places with him. This is your position before God. This is the way God sees you. And you are his beloved. You're precious to him, and he will never leave you or forsake you. In his eyes, you can do no wrong, because when you do wrong, he cleans it up immediately. How does God relate to us? How does God see us? This is one of the most important questions that we can answer in our mind. And the way that he sees us is we're his friends. But not just friends, we're his close friends. We're so close that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. When you think about God, think about your best friend. Because that's what God thinks when he sees you. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.